Well, in the year 1174, architect Bonanno Pisani began work on what would be his most famous project. This tower, which was going to be constructed, would rise some 185 feet into the Italian skies. 8-story tall, iconic structure. It would stand as a symbol of beauty and strength, not just for that village, but for the entire region. And so Pisano went to work developing a sound blueprint, acquiring the finest materials and employing the expert craftsmen in the area, and they began to build. Unfortunately, there was one little problem. One little problem that grew into one massive problem. As they began to build, they noticed that the foundation was not secure. It was not holding the building, and some of the soil under one part of the building was very soft and started to give. And so as they started to build, they found out that the tower began to lean. And as they kept building, get this, it took 176 years to construct this tower. Builders began to compensate. They thought, well, maybe if we put some weights and counterweights to balance it out, maybe if we build the upper floors leaning in the opposite direction, that will work. But nothing seemed to work. In fact, the leaning tower of Pisa began to lean a little bit more every year. And left alone, experts say, the tower would certainly fall. Without drastic intervention, this iconic landmark would be no more. It would crumble and fall to the ground because of its foundation. Now, in construction, it is impossible to overestimate the centrality, the importance of a solid foundation. If your foundation is poor, if your foundation is off, your building will be off. If your foundation is uneven or it's crumbling, your house will start to get cracks in the walls. In fact, it will compromise the entire integrity of your building. In fact, your home may, in fact, collapse. Well, Jesus Christ knew something about building. Tradition holds that he actually was a carpenter, that he knew about building furniture and perhaps homes. But one day Jesus talked about building something else, something more important, building a life. How is it that we can build a life that is worth living, a life that is strong, a life that is durable, a life that is strong enough to withstand some of the difficult circumstances that we will all face? Well, Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read his words today as we conclude our series. I'm going to invite you to stand, if you're able, for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. This is God's word. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Pray with me. So, living God, we've come to your word once again, and we believe that you recorded this for our benefit. You are leading us to a pathway of life and of flourishing. And for a few moments, we ask for help in understanding your word and applying your word to our lives. We pray that you would shine a light on the foundation which we are building upon. And may we hear an invitation to build upon the rock. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, if you're just joining us, you picked a great Sunday to come because this is the conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We have been working through this sermon for the last 6 months. Can you believe it? It's been a long time, and we have been deeply challenged by the words of Jesus. Like, if you've been here and you've been hearing this sermon preached about, you've been hearing these words, have there been any moments when you just went, whoa, that is so deeply challenging? Have there been moments where you felt uncomfortable? Jesus is leading us in the way of life, in a countercultural way of life, the narrow road, as he calls it. And sometimes we just need to acknowledge that this is deeply challenging. In verse 29, we read, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. The word amazed here, I'm told in the Greek, is properly translated amazed, but it doesn't carry the nuance that people, when they listened to Jesus, were stunned. They were floored. They were shaken to their very core at what they heard. They were thunderstruck. And so if you've been here and you've listened to these words and you went, wow, I think you're on the right track. You're hearing them like they should be heard. No one came up to Jesus at the end of a sermon and went, thanks, Jesus, that was a nice talk. Can we hear you again next week? No, they were floored. They thought, oh, what would it mean to walk in this way, to believe this, to live it? And so, in the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, we come and we once again are encountered by tough words that Jesus looks at us and says, you've been listening to my teaching, and now what are you going to do with it? Will you actually walk these things out? Or will you keep them at a distance and say, those are some interesting thoughts? Will you walk this way of life and of flourishing? And this morning we're going to explore this parable. We've been talking about building, and my points today, I think, build off each other. One way of studying this parable would be to look at what's similar between these builders and what's different. And so we're going to do that, and we're going to learn three things, I think. The first is that Jesus tells us we are all building a life on something. Verse 24 and 26, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his home on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. So there's some differences, but there's some similarities. One of the similarities is that both individuals are builders. We have a family in our East Van community who live in our neighborhood who are in the middle of building a new home, and it is a long process, and it is complex, and it's stressful. But Jesus is saying that one of the tasks we all have is that we're all involved in building a life. We are constructing a life, and at the end of our lives, don't we want to look back and say it was well built? This was a life worth living. This was a life well lived. I lived a life that was meaningful, that was significant, that was perhaps generous towards others. Don't we all want that? Philosopher and author James K.A. Smith says that we all have a vision of what he calls the good life. We all project into the future of what we hope our lives will turn out like. That will be lives that are happy and meaningful and significant. And we all are counting on something to deliver us, as he calls, the good life. We all believe there is a certain pathway to the good life. In this parable, Jesus is saying that house is a metaphor for your life, and a foundation is a metaphor for what you're trusting, what you're counting on, where your security is. As you think about the future, there are a lot of unknown things, but we're all going to cling to something as a way of finding safety and security for the future. We all have something that we would say, if I lose everything else, at least I have this. And we are trusting, we are counting on that as we think about our future. It is our security. So, for example, in health-conscious Vancouver, we have many people who believe in the importance of watching your diet and of exercising and of taking care of your body. This is obviously a very wise thing to do. As people who have been given bodies by God, we should be good stewards of those bodies, correct? But the question is this a good foundation for the future? Is good health something that you and I can bank on, can really count on for the future? Is it a good foundation? Some of us would say, well, my foundation is my work. I'm working hard. I am giving a lot at my company or my business because this is what's going to give me security down the road. Now, certainly, using our talents and gifts, cultivating them for the common good, is something I think we would all say is a great thing. But is your career a good foundation for the future? Is your career what you should bank on? Is your career truly secure? Well, what about family? Okay, maybe we're getting closer to the mark here. Investing in our closest relationships, I mean, we'd all say that is a good foundation, is it not? Sometimes joke with my kids about this because they're involved in sports or academics, and when they excel at those things, I say, you really need to do well at this because you are my retirement plan. I need you to make the NHL because that is my RRSP plan right there. Is it wise to count on the future success of my kids in that way? Is it good for them? Is it good for me? Is it a good foundation? Another way I like to think about this is people saying things like this. I own a home in Vancouver. I own a condo in Vancouver, which is a really hard thing to do. And that is my security for the future. Because whatever happens with my job, at least I have this. Is investing in the stock market or real estate a good foundation? Did you know that some people even make religion their foundation? We've been working through the Sermon on the Mount where we found that many people do good things, but for the wrong reason. That many people do religious good works. They live lives of sacrifice and generosity and prayer and fasting. But Jesus is saying sometimes they do it for the wrong reasons. Sometimes it's like they have a contract with God. If I do this number of good things, then God, down the road, you owe me. And one day I'm going to call that in. And you better come through for me. They've set up a contract with God. Now, doing good religious works and good deeds obviously is a great thing, but is it the right foundation for your lives? Is it your security moving forward? So Jesus says we're all building a life on something, and the question is, What are you building your life on? What are you trusting? As you look at an uncertain future, what is your security? What are you counting on? Well, this leads us to point number two. Not only are we all building a life on something, but second, we will all face storms. Both individuals are building, and both face storms. Verse 25 and 27 are identical. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house. Friends, this is one of the great certainties in life, isn't it? That you will face a storm. If we went around and asked everyone how they're doing, I'm guessing we would have three groups of people here today. Some of you would say, I'm right in the middle of a storm. Some of you would say, I just am exiting a storm in my life that's pretty traumatic. And some of you would say, I'm just heading into a storm. Storms are something that we all experience and encounter. And as followers of Christ, guess what? We're not exempt from that. We might even experience more storms when we walk this narrow path. I wish that Jesus told this story different. I wish he said, if you build your life on me, if you follow me, then you will experience nothing but sunshine and blue skies. Anyone ever wish that Jesus said that? That there will be no dark clouds on the horizon. That if you build your life on me, you'll never have to deal with depression, divorce, dementia, despair. But Jesus doesn't say that. And I know this congregation well enough to know that some of us have been through some pretty big storms. You know, in the Lower Mainland, we talk every once in a while about the coming earthquake. And the experts say it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But in life, we've experienced some earthquakes that have shaken us, that have scared us, that have rocked us. Some of you have experienced financial earthquakes, marital earthquakes, health earthquakes, career earthquakes. And storms have a way of exposing our foundation. How we react in the storm tells us a lot about our foundation. The career airline pilot, all he's ever wanted to do was fly a plane. And he does it, and he does it well, and it is everything to him. And one day, he gets a call from the airline doctor who says, your vision has deteriorated. Your blood pressure is at the point where we're sorry, but you can no longer be a pilot. We're reassigning you to a desk job. And it's devastating. The child who thought they were destined for the NHL gets cut from their junior A team. The stock market investor, the real estate investor, experiences a sudden crash. And she thinks, but this was my future. This is what I was counting on, and it's all gone suddenly. Or the health enthusiast gets that call from their doctor about some abnormality in the tests, and suddenly the future is not looking very bright for them, and they feel ripped off because they say, wait a second, I ate all the right things. I exercised. I did everything I was supposed to do. And now this? Jesus says we're all putting our trust in something. We all have our security in something, and a storm, the storms of life will reveal what those foundations are. No one wants to get to the end of their life and to realize that their life was a deck of cards that all collapsed and there's nothing to show for it. Jesus said the foolish person builds on the sand, and when the storm comes, their house falls and it's all gone. And yet the wise person builds on a sure foundation, on the rock. I don't know if any of you have ever been to Tofino in this beautiful property called the Wickinninish Inn. Anyone ever stayed there? It's a little pricey, I understand. I was telling people this morning, you guys should book a weekend there. And they're like, it's like $700 a night. So I didn't know that, but it's locally known as the Wick. And at a time, I understand, when few people were building any properties in Tofino, there was a family and a proprietor that thought, wouldn't it be great to build so that people could watch the storms? And my understanding is the busy time of the year is not now as we head into the summer months, but the busiest, most peak season is storm season. And the Wick, if you've ever been there or in that area, is built on a rock formation that juts out into the water. It is stable and secure. And Jesus says, house of cards or the Wick? You're gonna build somewhere. So don't you want to know that this is going to be secure in the long run? There are people in our community who are undergoing tremendous storms. And sometimes I ask them, how are you making it through this time? And over again, they say, you know, something is holding us. We feel like we're being held. They could word it another way. There's something about their foundation that is being exposed, that it is secure, that it is holding them, that the strength in their life is coming from their very foundation. Well, this leads us to the third thing. First, we're all building a life on something. Second, we'll all face storms. And third, we all must choose a foundation. If you've been following and hearing this story, you know that there's several things that are similar about the two builders, but there's one crucial difference between the wise and the foolish builder. Verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man. And everyone who hears these words, by contrast, and does not put them into practice, is like the foolish person who built their life on sand. Here's the crucial difference, friends, that in some ways the uncomfortable question that Jesus asks. You've been listening to my teaching. It has inspired you. Maybe it has been difficult at times, but what are you going to do with it? And according to Jesus, it's not about what you know, it's about what you do with what you know. It's not about information, it's about application. We are, by nature, our culture, we're kind of information junkies. We have the information superhighway. We learn and we study all good things, and we accumulate massive amounts of information that we have nothing to do with. We have nothing that we can do with it. It just fills our heads more and more and more. And Jesus is saying it's not about information, but about application. And a pastor that I know explained it this way using this diagram, this bar graph. He said, there's a gap between how much I know and how much I apply. How much I know, the blue bar, how much I apply, the green bar. And that gap, which we all have, is the danger zone. And this is where hypocrisy can actually grow in our lives. And according to Jesus, it is actually dangerous to continue to learn and take in information, to take in knowledge, and to not do anything with it. That just grows the danger zone in our lives. According to Jesus, it's not about what we know, it's about what we do with what we know. Do you know that it's dangerous to just keep reading the Bible and not to do anything with it? It's dangerous to just listen to sermons or go to your life group Bible study to engage in the scripture, to become Bible experts, and yet not to live it out. Maybe we could think about it this way, that walking with Jesus involves the left foot forward, the stepping forward of learning the teaching of Jesus, but then we follow with the right foot of applying it. And if we're only learning and taking in information, we're hobbling along on our left foot. Maybe a careful listener would say, wait a second here. So there's a lot of emphasis on the teaching of Jesus, doing what he says, applying it. But what about the life of Jesus, the person of Jesus? Shouldn't we build our life on Jesus himself? Well, here's how these two things come together, because if there was a chart here made of Jesus, that what he taught and how he lived, there would be no gap in his life. Jesus's word and his actions were one. They were one in the same, a life of perfect integrity. And so how do we build our life on the rock is, first and foremost, we build our life on the person of Jesus Christ himself. And then secondly, we build it on his teachings. They are one and the same. Let me take you back to when Jesus first called his followers, his disciples, and he said, come and follow me. And those disciples came and they offered Jesus nothing. They had no special skills, special knowledge, special talents. They were just ordinary people. And they came to Jesus humbly and they said, we will follow you. We will respond to you. They were banking everything on Jesus. And as they followed him and walked with him, they began to learn, listen to his teachings, and put it into practice. Did they do that perfectly? Do we do that perfectly? Of course not. Do we stumble? All the time. And yet when we stumble, we get back up. We stumble again, but we're stumbling forward. We're trusting Jesus. We're trying to live out his words and his call to us, however imperfectly. This is how we build our life on the solid rock. A little update on the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I told you that left to itself without intervention, that this tower would crumble. But engineers intervened many years ago, and they devised a way to really reinforce the foundation on the Tower of Pisa. It cost some 200 million euros. It was massively expensive. And yet they began to address the root problem, which was the foundation. Here's the good news for us, friends, is that it's never too late to look at our foundation. It's never too late to examine, what am I actually trusting? What am I basing my security on? And to readjust our lives around Jesus, who he is and his teaching. And friends, we continue to build. This isn't a one-time decision, but we are continuing to build our lives on some foundation. And Jesus says, build it on one that lasts. Well, let me conclude with mixing the metaphors just a little bit. But there's a gentleman, a pastor named Tony Evans that I've become familiar with. And him and his wife came to Vancouver because, like so many others in the summertime, they were getting on a ship on a cruise to go to Alaska. This is going to be a great holiday for them. They boarded one of the beautiful Royal Caribbean cruise line ships, and they were several days into their trip when they encountered a massive storm. This wasn't any storm. This was the largest storm, apparently, that Royal Caribbean had ever encountered in any of their sailings. Waves as high as 50 feet. The boat was rocking all over the place. you know, dishes and glasses were flying off tables, pianos were rolling off stages. I mean, people were getting sick everywhere. It was incredibly scary and traumatic. And Tony tells the story about his wife. His wife has the kind of personality that would do something like this. She said, "I want to register an official complaint because this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I had in mind." So she picks up the phone in her room and says, "Can you please put me through to the captain?" And the person on the other end says, "I'm sorry, the captain is kind of occupied right now. This is quite a tense time. Is there a message that I can relay to the captain?" And she went on about how, "Yes, I want to register an official complaint. I think the captain probably would have known that there was a storm ahead, could have rerouted us around it. This is not an enjoyable experience, and I want to let him know." And the person on the phone said, "I'll be happy to pass along that message to the captain." Several minutes later, the phone rings in the Evans room, and is this same person who answered the phone and said, "I want you to know that I did relay the message to the captain, and he has a message for you." And this was the message. The captain said, "We knew this day would come. We knew that we would face a vicious storm. But what I want you to know is that this ship was built with the storm in mind. That this boat was built such that when the storm came, though it would be inconvenient and irritating and aggravating and even traumatic, this ship was built to last." And he concluded with these words. He said, "What I want you to know is that though the storm is strong, the ship is stronger." Why do we build our lives on Jesus Christ? Because, friends, though the storms of life are strong, Jesus is stronger. Though the storms that you face and will face are going to be scary, they are going to be traumatic, they are going to be upsetting, we build on the rock because Jesus is stronger than that storm. He is the one true foundation that as we look at our future of all the uncertainties and all the options of what we could build our lives upon, we say, "Jesus, you are the solid rock. You are the one foundation, and I'm counting on you. I am trusting you with my very life. I'm not trusting in my condo in Vancouver. I'm not trusting in my career. Those are all good things. I'm not trusting in my health. But I'm going all in on you, Jesus. You are the one true foundation." And so, friends, at the end of this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus asks us this question. What are you building your life on? Will you build on the solid rock that is Jesus, the only secure foundation? Let's pray together. So I'm going to invite you to just take a moment to reflect, to personalize, to perhaps ask the question, what's my security? What's my foundation? Just take a moment to reflect on that question about what you're building your life on and listen. Listen to how God might speak to you. I believe that there are some people here who would want to say, I think I've been building on some good things, but not ultimate things. I've been pinning my hopes to to things that probably are more sand than rock. But today, Jesus, I have heard your word clear, and I want to reestablish my foundation on you and you alone. Jesus, I want to go all in. I want to trust you first and foremost beyond anything else. And friends, we're going to do something, maybe it's a little bold because we haven't really done this before, but in a story about a house that stands, I wonder if that's your heart, let me invite you now to stand as a sign that, Jesus, I want to be standing on the rock. I want to be building on the rock. If that desire wells up with you, then let me just invite you to stand now as a sign to God, as an indication of your desire. I want my life to be on secure footing on the rock that is Jesus Christ. So Spirit of God, stir in us a deeper trust, a longing, an insatiable desire to trust you, to trust in your goodness. Of all the good things in our lives, Jesus, we trust you most. We trust you first and foremost. Help us to build our lives on you. Be our security, we pray. In Christ's name.